Well, this morning, and actually for the next couple of weeks at least, we're going to have a little bit of a focus on the global mission part of our mission here at Swansea Baptist through a couple of ways. Have you got those slides there, Samantha, that you can put up? And why are we doing this? For a couple of reasons. Now, we have our six core values as a church, things that we say, here's some of the things that are important to us. And one of those core values is that we are mission-shaped. We've said we're a mission-shaped church. And this is plays out in a number of ways. Here's three that we talk about in this core value. The first one is that we recognise that we're all missionaries in a sense. You know, recognising and acting on our identity as a people that are sent to announce and demonstrate the reign of Christ. So we're going to show it, we're going to speak it. So we recognise that part of our identity as a church is not just to build a wall and be comfortable, but God sent us. And Jesus said, go. And so we recognise, every one of us as Christians, as missionaries. That next slide, Samantha, if we can have that. The other part of that says that our church life is actually going to be shaped with a priority for and a concern for people that don't yet know Jesus. That we actually think that's so important. And we're going to prioritise it. We're going to do things in church life that shape our church life around reaching people that don't know Jesus yet. Sometimes it's going to mean we're going to do things that aren't as comfortable for us. Sometimes it means we're not going to always do our favourite stuff. We're going to step out and we're going to do things, we're going to sacrifice some things for the sake of reaching people for Jesus. And the one of the important parts of that is the next one there, Samantha, is that we recognise we've got a part to play in God's global mission. And we talk about the term global mission rather than just mission because, again, we said everyone's a missionary. Even in Swansea here, you're missionaries. You've been sent. So we talk about that global mission, that we have a part to play. Jesus has said, go to the ends of the earth with this message. And so we have a part to play as individuals, but as a church, we have a part to play in God's global mission. And that can be through a number of ways. It can be through prayer, through generous giving, and maybe for some people, for going, and maybe going somewhere far off. And so we think this is a really important part of what we do as a local church, that we're engaged in God's global mission because he has a heart to reach the world. This message is not just for people in Australia, it's for people all around the world, and we're going to hear a bit of that this morning. And so this morning, it's my pleasure to welcome Brendan and Corinna, and I think they're going to talk about themselves, so I'm not going to give them a big introduction, but they've got a family connection, which I'm sure you're going to tell us, to our church family. But they've been overseas in working in God's global mission. So we're going to hear a bit about what they've been doing and maybe what that means for us too as God's people. So I welcome Brendan and Corinna. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Matt. And good morning, Swansea Baptist. It's really exciting to be here with you. And yeah, thank you so much, Matt, for letting us come and share this time with your congregation. It's always exciting to meet new people, even virtually. And seeing you guys on the screen behind it, we've been staying with my parents a little bit, Shane and Sandra Pont, who have been coming to Swansea Baptist for a little while now, and they just became members, I think, earlier this year, which is really exciting time for them. So I'm Brendan.
I'm Corinna.
And you may have seen sitting on my parents' lap our little daughter Annabelle, who's two.
Come August, we'll have another addition to our family.
And so, yeah, we're partners with a non-denominational mission organisation called Interserve. And you may not have heard of them, but we've been, we'll talk a little bit about them later today, but we've been living in a small communist nation in Southeast Asia for the past 4.5 years. And we've just got a short video now that Sam's going to chuck up for us of what God has us doing in that place.
So, I work for a coffee company here in Southeast Asia.
We provide seedlings to farmers, which they then own. And then we actually go from crop right through to cup with having two cafes, a roastery, a processing plant, and purchasing and supporting farmers to grow organic shade-grown coffee.
The coffee company was started by a man who is married to a local woman, but he was sent over here to work with a particular people group that was at that point unreached. And these people groups lived in the mountainous areas. So he decided that a possible good crop to work with them to have access to those villages was coffee, because it grows in mountainous areas.
One of the important things that we want to do with the coffee company is make sure that it's not just that the business of the coffee company is separate to the ministry work that we do. It's that the two are integrated, and that's how we see BEM working, that for business's mission, that the business itself actually has an integral part in the mission, the way that we operate the business, the way that we... glorify God in the way that we work with sustainable income for farmers and sustainable income for all of our staff, have a good relationship with the environment, so we're working well with God's creation and making sure that how we operate our business doesn't impact on God's creation. And also, as a coffee company, we don't only run the cafes, but we also go right from crop to cup. And that gives us access to places where, in this country, being a closed nation, which is highly suspicious of foreigners, we're not allowed to get into normally. We can't normally go to villages and spend time with local people. But actually working with them in providing a sustainable income through growing coffee for us, where we give them a crop, we give them seedlings right from the start. We walk with them, and we have our local people who are believers, who are trained in organic shade-grown coffee farming. They will then go up to the villages, and they will work and walk alongside those villages for the first 4 years until they get their first crop. And then regularly after that, they're going back into those villages monthly, maybe once every 2 months. And that also gives us access to then be able to speak into people's lives as they go. So our coffee promoters are regularly having gospel-centered conversations with people.
Heart of compassion and justice, and in partnership with His church, we express our faith through word and deed, confident in the love and grace of Jesus for profound and lasting transformation. Our purpose is to make Jesus Christ known through holistic ministry in partnership with the global church amongst the neediest peoples of Asia and the Arab world. But what does this mean practically for us?
So firstly, we're going to look at amongst the neediest people of Asia and the Arab world. Now, we take part in God's mission in a country in Southeast Asia as one of the poorest and least developed nations in the region. And we can't mention the country because we're actually not allowed to be there as missionaries. Now, these people are needy physically, economically, and spiritually.
So physically, with a population of about 7 million people, which is about halfway between New South Wales and Victoria, over half the population is below 24 years of age. This is largely because of their poor health, quality of healthcare and a previous history of war that has kept the average life expectancy below 55 up until about 10 years ago. It's now 64. The healthcare system is fairly poor, and access to even this poor healthcare is also based on bribery and your ability to pay rather than need. A scary example of this occurred late last year when one of the employees from the coffee company had a motorbike accident and broke her pelvis. After deliberating for days with no pain medication at all, the surgeon decided that he would operate. But before he did, the family had to go and buy him some barbecue duck. Surgeon needed to eat it, and then he would operate. As with many other developing nations, many areas of their development are held back by the level of education. And in this country, most people leave school at about 11 years old.
So economically, the country is still largely agrarian, with 3/4 of the population involved in subsistence farming. 60% of the population live on less than the buying equivalent of $1.95 a day. There's also a great inequality, with the richest 20% having access to 45% of the income and the poorest 20% sharing just 7.3% of the country's income. Now, because of this, poverty, child labour, and selling your children or young women into slavery is still a harsh reality for survival for many families. But what does it matter to have the world or improve your portion of income if you do not save your soul? Now, this is where the country is also in great need. While there is a local state-sanctioned church, it's highly controlled by the communist government. And in many areas outside of the capital, it's banned and highly persecuted, with this country being ranked number 20 in the World Watch List. Just to give you an idea, the only other Asian nation that is higher than it comes in at number 1, which is North Korea. Last time we were back here in Australia, it was 24, so it's actually getting worse. Now, where we live, there is a local church, but it's closely monitored and controlled, with every Sunday having police officers come to the services. Now, they need to seek permission for events like Christmas or Easter, and at the whim of the government, they could create issues and stop the church services going ahead. We're not allowed to attend the local gatherings because that could create issues for both us and the local church. And so we've been asked by the local pastors to not attend. So we gather together with some other expats on a Sunday, going to different houses and sharing a small church service ourselves together. Even amongst this persecution, we are hearing of many people coming to know Christ, and now is about 1.5% of the population who are practicing Christians. The remainder of the population are mostly Buddhist and folk spirit worshippers. However, there are still 83% of the 134 people groups who are yet to hear the gospel in this nation.
For us, partnership with the global church has meant two very important things. Firstly, it means that for those who send us, the body of Christ here in Australia, are connecting with another part of the body of Christ that is in need. We're sent not as individuals, but as part of the church here, and so our supporters back here are integral to our work over there. We felt the importance of this partnership through the provision of our physical needs, through generous giving, and also through encouraging emails and just knowing that the body here in Australia is praying for us, which is needed because when we felt under spiritual attack, which is very real and overt where we live, we know that we have people back in Australia praying for us. And this is really comforting, knowing that we can reach out with urgent requests to key people, and it's really been a lifeline for us at times.
The second important part of this statement is that we're working with the local body in the country where we live. While there are many things that are immature or problematic about the leadership of the church in the country, it's been important for us to work alongside them and not against them, to be working with the local church. This has seen us work to assist the local church in a highly persecuted area in the south of the country. And you can see a photo in the top right of a disaster that occurred down there a couple of years ago, which we were able to go down and work with the local church to actually support their local community in providing disaster relief. And this was an amazing time to see how God, in this area where pastors were regularly imprisoned and have their property taken off them, livestock killed, and churches burned down, that they'd reach out to the other people around them and love them and show Christ's love to them. And it was amazing to see what God did through this horrible situation. One touching example of this was one day when we were registering the truckloads of emergency relief supplies with the government. The local representative of the government wanted to present the church with a certificate of appreciation. And the local pastor who went up there and shook his hand and had the photo opportunity was visibly moved by this situation. We found out later that the reason was that the person who was shaking his hand was the same man that had imprisoned him for no reason for 6 months without any chance of being released because there was no charge. Through working with the local church in this area, there's been lasting effects in the relationships between the church and the local people, and they are now being integral in rebuilding this area and in upskilling and helping people recover from this disaster, both spiritually, emotionally, and physically. Partnering with the local church has also meant we've seen how the local church is in a really great position to share the good news with their own people. Now, we can study the language and know the language really, really well, but culturally, we'll never be able to share who God is in a way that is as relevant as a local person can. And so we work, like you heard in the video, with local men and women to go out and train them in evangelism and to have them go out and share with their own people. And the men that we use as coffee promoters, they know the culture, they know their people, and they understand the spirituality of their people. And so they can present a local God to their people who is able to really speak into how they see the world, but in a way that is true to the gospel and doesn't water it down. Another key focus for me has been discipling. Now, this is not a strength in the local church, as it's a very hierarchical society. Now, one young man that I've been working with is one of the only Christian men who work at the cafe. And he's recently been married. And I've been walking alongside him, exploring what it means to actually be, not just be forgiven and have the punishment taken away from your sins, but also have the shame taken away. Because where we live is an honor and shame culture. And many people don't feel they can have a relationship with God because they still feel that the shame from their sin is still there. And it's been great to see him be released into a relationship with God because he's understood that Jesus has taken that shame away from him.
So what has it meant for us to be focused on making Jesus Christ known through holistic ministry? Well, it means that we make a continual choice that our whole life is ministry. Both of us aren't doing what you might consider conventional mission work. We're not Bible translators or pastors. But God uses all of who we are to allow people the opportunity to be introduced to him. We're just ordinary Christians who have followed the leading of our extraordinary God to live our life overseas and to introduce people to him as we share our whole life. As a mum, I spend the majority of my time looking after our 2-year-old daughter. Now, this is an important thing for me to remember, because the thought of the role of the mum on the mission field, as it is here at home, is to be a supporting role to the main act, is prominent. But in God's mission, there are no supporting roles. We're all on the front line. And as I meet with other mums in the community, as I teach our daughter about Jesus and life, and as I encourage our local Christian sisters, I am on the front line of God's mission. May I take some time here on Mother's Day today to encourage you, Christian mums here, to also have the same mindset. You're not just a supporting role in God's kingdom. We're all playing an important role, and God wants us to seize every opportunity of our ordinary lives to glorify him and to make him known. Whether that be how you share your life with other mums in playgroup or at school drop-offs or at work or wherever you might be, you have the opportunity to be Christ's representative. And in fact, as a Jesus follower, really it's your honour and obligation to use the whole of your ordinary life to glorify him and to make his name known. In our nation, we can be jailed for evangelism, so the most effective way for us to introduce people to the one true God is through relationship. It is through relationship that we share who we are and how our God is real in our lives and influences every aspect of our lives, be it how we raise our children, how we operate our business ethically, treat our staff, or as an agricultural business, treat the environment. This isn't anything extraordinary. We're just doing our ordinary life as a follower of Christ. but it speaks loudly to the power and truth of God in our lives.
Now, we've spoken a bit about the fact that we are ordinary Christians. And this is what I want to spend a little bit of time sharing about today, and Matt's asked me to share on. Now, one trap for missionaries particularly, and for those that support us, is that they think that we're extraordinary Christians. We're some kind of super Christian that takes a path that only a few follow. But what I want to share with you today is that this is complete rubbish. While it's true that few people, and increasingly fewer people, choose to serve in full-time ministry, let alone cross-culturally, the role that we do should not be extraordinary for any Christian. It should be just the ordinary Christian walk, but relocated to a place where very few know who Jesus is. Now, the whole Bible speaks to God being a missional God, right from Abraham and the promises to Abraham through to what Jesus did on the cross. And as we read through all the Gospels, there are different perspectives on many events in Jesus' life and to the things that he says. Now, this doesn't make them non-credible, but in fact, it's what historians, Christian and non-Christian historians, see the Gospels as being credible historical accounts. Because now, if 10 of you were to write down what you heard me say today, you'd say it completely differently and you'd pick up different things on what I said. But if I was to write a false account and copy it 10 times, it'd be exactly the same. Now, we see the same thing with those most important final words that Jesus spoke to his disciples. Now, imagine, if you will, that you had people who had followed your teaching and life intensively for the past 3 years. And you were imparting every bit of wisdom to them through the way you lived your life and the things that you spoke to them. Now you were going to leave them, and you knew you were about to leave them. And this would be your final encouragement and teaching to them. What you spoke to them would be the most important things that you would want them to hold on to. And what did Jesus choose? Well, Jesus told his disciples to go and tell the whole world the gospel. We find an account of this in Matthew 28, 18 to 20, where he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been handed over to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." We find it in Mark 16, 15 to 18. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover." Again, in Luke 24, 45 to 49. "Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high.'" In John 20, 21 to 23, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld.'" And then Luke shares again in Acts, Jesus saying, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Now, these were words spoken to specific followers of Jesus, the apostles. But as we see, they were to teach everyone who believed to do the same thing. Now, if you were a follower of Jesus, then you are part of this chain that can be linked back to the command of Jesus to go into the whole world and have everyone know who he is, and then to teach them to do likewise. Because you are a follower of Jesus, it's meant that someone has taught someone else about Jesus who's taught you. For some of us, that means going and living in another place and living an ordinary Christian life, proclaiming Jesus in thought, word, and deed. For others, it might mean going into full-time ministry here in Australia And as you live your ordinary Christian life, you are shepherding and leading a congregation who proclaim Christ in thought, word, and deed. But for the majority of Christians, he's calling you to go and be part of his mission to have everyone know him by going about your ordinary everyday life. But in how you live and love and share who you are with those around you, you declare Christ through word and deed. Now, I've been so encouraged hearing from Mum and Dad about the different ways that Swansea Baptist facilitates its members of Christ's body to share their faith through life, be it the gym, that you operate as an avenue to have everyday interactions with the community, to the care ministries or the particular events that you do for the community, like the trick-or-treat event around Halloween. And hearing also about the Facebook challenges that you're putting out there. These are great ways of intentionally having the church thinking about ways to connect with the community. But you know what? These are just bonuses. God has created each of us to be relational. And he has placed all of us in relationships in everyday life with people who need to know who he is. So, our challenge to you all is to consider how your ordinary life as a Christ follower is being part of God's mission to have everyone know who he is.
So what now for us? Well, we had planned home assignment. We'd planned to come back to Australia for home assignment during this time anyway. But a couple of things have changed since we started planning for home assignment about a year ago. The first thing was that we fell pregnant with our second child. And in God's perfect timing, this little one is due to be born at the end of our planned home assignment. The second little thing that has happened is COVID-19, which meant for us that we needed to leave our country very quickly, a month earlier than planned, because the borders of our country were going to close. It's also meant that our plans for home assignment have changed. So instead of sitting in people's lounge rooms and sharing about the amazing things that God is doing in our part of the world and using us to be a part of his mission, instead we're sitting in front of a computer, like you can see on the screen here, sharing with a Bible study group. It also means that instead of standing in front of churches or conferences or Bible colleges, we're connecting virtually like we are now, and like you see virtually. It makes for a slightly different experience, but we're still sharing what God is doing faithfully.
The other impact is that we don't actually know when we will be able to return. We were meant to be returning in late September or early October, but really, who knows now? So through the wonders of technology, we are keeping in contact with folks back in our country and can do a lot of the work of the business, administration, bookkeeping and decision-making for the company from afar. We can also be an encouragement and keep sharing with those that we have a relationship with through the wonders of WhatsApp and Line and actually having phone conversations with those that we're working with back over there. But it's not the same as being there. For our company, back in our country, the coffee company, fortunately, we've had some profitable years that have allowed us to be able to continue to pay our staff even through having no income coming in. So long as this doesn't stretch too far into the future, we should be able to do that and still have reserves to pay for next season's crop. So this has been a real blessing for us from God, having laid up these treasures for the last couple of years to be able to use now. So like many of us, we don't know much about what the next few months will bring for us. But we do know that our God is in control, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, if you'd like to know more about what we're doing, or even get our newsletters, or even want us to share at your Bible study group, feel free to email us using the email at the top of the screen there. And if you want to find out more about InterServe, you can go to www.interserve.org.au. Thank you so much for letting us share with you today, and we hope that you can continue to be ordinary Christians with those around you and share about who our extraordinary God is. Yeah, I'll pray for us now. Lord, thank you so much that you are the same today, yesterday, and forever. That your heart to have everyone know you has always been there right from the start. We pray that today, as we consider how we, our ordinary lives, might be able to be better used to share who you are. May you bring to our mind those key relationships of people that you want us to share with. May you bring to our mind how we could naturally do that in relationship. And we just want to thank you so much that your Spirit goes with us wherever we are. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.